We'll begin with a prayer. Holy Spirit, we ask that you be with us now as we meditate upon another precious verse which you've given us in the beautiful book of Song of Songs. We pray that you open our hearts as only you can do it, and strengthen our faith in our Savior as we meditate upon the glories which he has given to us as his bride. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Song of Solomon, chapter 6, verse 10. The bridegroom speaking of his bride. Who is she that looketh forth as the morning, fair as the moon, clear as the sun, and terrible as an army with banners? From the very beginning of creation, we see a struggle between darkness and light. The very opening words of the book of Genesis. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. Then on day four, the Holy Spirit tells us, and God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also, and God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth and to rule over the day and over the night and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. Darkness and light, the moon and the sun. In an amazing way, the bride here is compared to both. Satan is a god of darkness, and his kingdom is a kingdom of darkness. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. Isaiah 60, verse 2. And 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Children of the devil, described in Psalm 82, verse 5, they know not, neither will they understand. They walk on in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are out of course. Psalm 107, verse 10, such as sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron, because they rebelled against the words of God and condemned the counsel of the Most High. Therefore he brought down their heart with labor. They fell down, and there was none to help. Again, sitting in darkness and in the shadow of death. Proverbs 4:19, the way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. This was the bride's condition by nature also, but she was called out of darkness. And now, who is she that looketh forth as the morning? The morning is refreshing compared with the night. So the bride is like the morning compared with the world that is in darkness. She is lovely, cheering, and heartsome to look upon more so than all others. The morning is often opposed to the darkness of night and affliction and heartlessness, and the birds in the fields look cheerful when the sun begins to shine. Isaiah 58, verse 8 puts it this way, "Then shall thy light bring forth as the morning, and thine health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee. The glory of the Lord shall be thy reward. So Satan's kingdom is a kingdom of darkness. Christ is a kingdom of light. The miracle that was performed in the bride by the Holy Spirit is described this way in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6. And it goes all the way back to the opening verses of Holy Writ. "For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." God did it all. The bride contributed nothing. This is called grace. Fisherman puts it this way in chapter 2, verse 9 of his first epistle, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." Son of God in John chapter 8, verse 12, speaking one of the seven great I Ams, "I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." Speaking of his bride, he says in John chapter 10, verse 10, "I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly." In the Greek, there are two main words that talks about life. One is bios, which our word biology comes from. That's physical life. But the more meaningful word is zoe, which means a meaningful life. A life that has a purpose to it. A life that has a goal to it. A life that is going to last throughout all eternity as the bride of Jesus Christ. Zoe is the word that Jesus uses here when he says, "I am come that they might have life." The contrast would be opening words of Ecclesiastes chapter 1. The words of the preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem. "Vanity of vanities," saith the preacher, "vanity of vanities, all is vanity. What profit hath the man of all his labor which he taketh under the sun? It all amounts to a heap of ashes. It doesn't mean a thing." That's the way it ends up for the children of the devil and his kingdom of darkness. The bride is far different. "Who is she that looketh forth as the morning, fair as the moon?" In my opinion, one of the most beautiful sights in all nature is a full moon shining on a clear fall night. Well, if you're only looking with a human eye here in the book of Song of Solomon, the bride does not look as fair as the moon. In her own words, chapter 1 beginning at verse 5, "I am black but comely, O ye daughters of Jerusalem, as the tents of Kedar, as the curtains of Solomon. Look not upon me, because I am black, because the sun hath looked upon me. My mother's children were angry with me. They made me the keeper of the vineyards, but mine own vineyard have I not kept." Chapter 3, opening verses. "By night," one of these night scenes in Scripture, "by night on my bed, I sought him whom my soul loveth. I sought him, but I found him not. I will rise now and go about the city, in the streets, and in the broad ways I will seek him whom my soul loveth. I sought him, but I found him not. Chapter 5, beginning at verse 6. I opened to my beloved, but my beloved had withdrawn himself and was gone. My soul failed when he spake. I sought him, but I could not find him. I called him, but he gave me no answer. The watchmen that went about the city found me. They smote me, they wounded me. The keepers of the walls took away my veil from me. If you're only looking with a human eye, she does not look fair as the moon, this bride of Christ. She's living in a certain sense of darkness. But the night that the bride finds herself in is much different from the night that the children of the devil find themselves in. Listen to some of these intriguingly mysterious passages about night as far as the bride is concerned. Psalm 18, verse 11, talking about her bridegroom. He made darkness his secret place. His pavilion round about him were dark waters and thick clouds of the skies. The words of the bridegroom to his bride in Isaiah 45, verse 3. And I will give thee the treasures of darkness and the hidden riches of secret places, that thou mayest know that I, the Lord, which call thee by thy name, am the God of Israel. So yes, the bride here is in darkness for a short time. But there are precious gems and treasures hidden deep in the darkness of the earth, and the bridegroom wants his bride to have them. The truth of the matter is there are countless numbers of lights in the heavens, some of them very, very huge. Betelgeuse in the constellation of Orion, for example, is so great that if the earth were placed at its center, the sun, some 93 million miles away, still would not break through the outer crust. And Betelgeuse is far from being the greatest light in the heaven. There are countless numbers of lights in the heaven, some of them very huge. But there are only two great lights. And one of them is the moon, which is a picture of the bride of Jesus Christ. The moon shines with reflected light. But that reflected light is given to her by the sun, her bridegroom. Truth, the Lord God placed the moon in the heavens, and we don't usually remember this, the Lord God placed the moon in the heavens to rule the night. Genesis 1:16, God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, that's the sun, and the lesser night to rule the night, that's the moon. A moon, a type here of the bride. Who is she that looketh forth as the morning, fair as the moon? So even as the bride is struggling in the darkness, searching for the bridegroom but not able to find him, praying to him but he doesn't seem to answer, and she's being persecuted by the VIPs in the church, even in that condition, she is ruling. The moon rules the night. Let's not forget that. We are in control of this situation, even in the devil's kingdom of darkness. The bridegroom said, all power is given to me in heaven and on earth. And he's controlling every step of the bride, and she is ruling. Well, it doesn't look like it. No, it doesn't look like it, if you're looking with a human eye. But we look with the eye of faith. And faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Her bridegroom didn't look like a winner either when he was hanging on the cross and being mocked by his enemies. But he was ruler even then of heaven and earth and even hell. A mighty conqueror, so also is his bride. Solomon, who was a human instrument writing the Song of Solomon, also wrote Ecclesiastes. We quoted from that before. Now we come to chapter 3. To everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under the heaven. We're not living in the middle of a free-for-all. It's all controlled. A time to be born and a time to die. There's a time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep, but also a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones, and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to get, and a time to lose. A time to keep, and a time to cast away. A time to rend, and a time to sow. A time to keep silence, and a time to speak. A time to love, and yes, a time to hate, a time of war, and a time of peace. Well, which of these times do you want? The bridegroom gives all of these times to his bride. The end of the matter is this: he hath made everything beautiful in his time. So there's a beauty to the bride of Jesus Christ every step she takes on this earth, even when it looks like she's down and out. That's only what the human eye is seeing. There's much, much better than that. She is fair as the moon. She's also as clear as the sun, partakers of the divine nature. Isaiah 30, verse 26 puts it this way: moreover, the light of the moon shall be as the light of the sun. She's going to be elevated. She is fair as the moon, clear as the sun. And the light of the sun shall be sevenfold, as the light of 7 days, in the days that the Lord bindeth up the breach of his people and healeth the stroke of their wound. We can't begin to imagine the glory that's found just in this one verse. We go to 1 John 3, verse 2. Beloved, now we are the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. When Jesus Christ appears in all his glory, we're going to be like him. And when the bridegroom approaches the marriage altar in all his glory, his bride is going to be with him with the same glory that he has. There appeared in a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. Who is this that looketh forth as the morning, breaking through the darkness, fair as the moon, clear as the sun, and terrible or powerful as an army with banners? The bride of Jesus Christ is ruling the night. She is the most powerful being on the face of the planet Earth. 2 Corinthians 4, beginning at verse 15, talking to the bride. All things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Why, we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And so the bride has taken on the looks of her own bridegroom. And just as he said, all power is mine in heaven and on earth, he's King of kings and Lord of lords, so his bridegroom is powerful and terrible as an army with banners. Human words cannot begin to describe the beauty of this beautiful bride here, but we're going to let the Holy Spirit do it for us, mainly countering on this thought that she is a powerful, terrible army with banners. She's a winner. Final words of Romans 8, verse 14 and following. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the sons of God. We are the children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity not willingly, but by reason of him who subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption to wit, the redemption of our body. We would not know this unless the Holy Spirit told us. For we are saved by hope, but hope which is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, what doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that which we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is in the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, and that means he loved before the foundation of the world, he did also predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or the sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Who is she that looketh forth as the morning, fair as the moon, clear as the sun, and terrible as an army with banners?